on Parshas Kedoshim, so introduce it with a piece from the Degel Machne Ephraim. The Degel Machne Ephraim was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had a daughter whose name was Adel, and she had two sons, Reb Ephraim and Reb Boruch. Reb Boruch was in Mezhbish, and Reb Ephraim authored the Sefer Degel Machne Ephraim, where one of the direct sources of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. So here, on the pasuk, Al Tifnu El Ho'elidim, Ve'lihem Aseichel Le'sasa Lechem, Ani Hashem Alekeichem, you shall not make molten images, don't turn to other gods, Ani Hashem Alekeichem. So the Degel says over here, Al Tifnu El Ho'elidim, the Gemara says, Al Tifnu El Midatchem, don't create a god in your own minds. Simple meaning is that the creation of idolatry is really a psychological trip that people create a god in order to justify their way of life. So if you create your own god with his own set of morals and standards, so then you can justify your own existence. So the Degel suggests that his grandfather, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, taught on the Posuk of Visartem Ba'avadatem Elohim Acherim, we say in Shema, and you will veer away and you will serve other gods. So Baal Shem HaKadosh taught, Visartem, immediately if a Jew veers away from serving Hashem, immediately it's Ba'avadatem Elohim Acherim. So what the Baal Shem is really saying is that there is no area which is parav. Either serving God or you're serving an idolatry. The idolatry sometimes is oneself. But Visartem, immediately as one veers away, it's immediately Ve'avadatem Elohim Acherim, it's considered already idolatry. So the Degel explains as follows, that there's a concept in Yiddishkeit called B'chol Derochecha De'ehu, in all of your ways shall you know God. And that means that a Jew is called upon, and this is something which is brought in Shulchan Aruch as well, that a person should do everything with Das. Das is integration. That we don't live a dichotomous life, that we're Jewish in shul, and we go home and we're totally self-absorbed. So when one eats, when one drinks, when one sleeps, when one speaks with people, a person does everything with a state of mind that this is going to lead them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a greater manner. He even mentions things like casual things that a person does. If a person buys something which will bring them into a state of mind that they'll be happier, in order that will lead them to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a more efficient, in an easier way, and so on. That everything can and should be brought under the umbrella of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says this is the meaning of Chulin Hanasim Al Taharas HaKadosh. Chulin Shanas Al Taharas HaKadosh is once upon a time, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, that we know that Truma and Maaser had to be eaten in a state of purity. One could not eat it when they were contaminated. But there were people who not only ate Truma and Maaser when they were in a state of Kedusha, but even Chulin, even the regular basic foods, they ate when they were in Tahara. So he says, this is the definition of Chulin Shanas or Altaras HaKadosh, is a person who even their regular mundane daily matters are done with the eye on Kedusha, with the eye on Tahara. That whatever a person does to make their lives easier, there's always an eye on the fact that it's going to help me come to an easier, more efficient, a greater state of mind so that I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a better way. Conversely, if a person is religious in shul, and then when they are on their own turf, they're totally absorbed in self, he says, then that is nimshal kebehemis nidma. Then the person, in essence, when they walk out of the realm of kedusha, they're basically animals. But there's no difference between them and what the animal does, which is totally self-service. And he goes as far as to say that it's even possible for a person to fall into this trap when they're involved in various chumras and safeguards and things. If a person really is not focusing with their eye on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so a person can be in a stage of being frumi and yet being totally absorbed in self and disconnecting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, therefore, you find a concept that there's an interchange in the terminology between the fool and the wicked person. Because in essence, what it really boils down to is there anything going on top? Are we thinking about what we're doing? And the fool, who's just totally involved with self, is a person, as Chazal tell us, that no person sins unless they're overcome by a ruach shtus, by a temporary form of insanity. They've just lost. They've totally lost focus. So what he's saying here is that the stage of rishus, stage of falling totally into avera, is only one step away from not focusing. It's a very slippery slope. A wise person, on the other hand, is able to bring everything they do into the realm of Kedusha, even if it's not a mitzvah. So you have here two, what seem to be very small attitudinal issues. Chazal tell us, for instance, that you have two people eating their Korban Pesach. One person is delighting in the barbecue, and another person is thinking about the fact that with this barbecue he's serving on Kodesh Baruch. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk which says about one person it says tzadikim yelchubam, the righteous will walk in those ways, and about the other it says upoishim yikashlubam, and the sinners will stumble in it. And they're both outwardly doing the exact same thing. They're both eating a kezias of barbecued Pesach sacrifice, and yet in essence they're galaxies apart from one another. Because what they're doing attitudinally is totally different. And what the Degel is suggesting is that every fork in the road begins at a point. And at the beginning of the fork, they're only inches apart. But by the time you take the fork to its destination, you're going to end up in two different continents. That's what the Degel is suggesting here. That this point of what life is all about, especially in the area of the mundane and the permissible, will ultimately lead to these two completely opposite, polar opposites of positions in life. So he says the Degel, that's how he wants to interpret the pasuk, al tifnu el ha'elilim, don't turn to these other gods. So the Degel is suggesting, al tifnu Kael midatchem. The Gemara is, the way you learn it simply, is don't create another God in your mind. Says the Degel, that means don't ever let God leave your mind. Even if you're dabbling in the physical, you're at work, you're in the kitchen, you're driving carpool, whatever it is, al tifnu kael midatchem. Don't allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave your mind. I was just reading last night that after the Magid of Mizrich passed away, so the Magid was the successor of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. Very clear successor. There were no questions about it. It was a one-person takeover. When the Magid passed away, so it says that the Magid had 300 Talmidim, all of whom were Baal Ruach HaKadosh. And among them, they needed to choose a successor. The Magid's son, who was called Rav Avram HaMalach, was way out there. He was... his level of passion and fear was such that he was a totally impractical person. There was no way that the Magid was a manager of brilliant proportion. He took the teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh and created, as you see, 300 disciples, and he placed them by design in different countries and different places in order to spread the word. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal organizer. So they needed a person who was practical. The Rav Avraham HaMalach was totally impractical to such a degree where it was virtually impossible even to be a disciple of his. They say that very, very few, he did take over his father's Bais Medrash. His father had moved to Anipala, the Magid moved to Anipala and passed away in Anipala and is buried in the cemetery in Anipala together with the Reb Zisha. So he did take over his father's Bais Medrash, but among the other Talmidim, they couldn't deal with him. because his level of intensity in Yira was such that if you got within a certain proximity of him, you began to tremble such that it was impossible to do anything. There were a few people who braved it, namely the Rebbe Boruchel and the Degel Machne Ephraim, the two grandsons of the Baal Shem Tov, and they kind of risked the weather and went to the Malach. Came to the Malach's Besmerdesh in Anapola, and they stood outside of the window. They didn't even go inside, and they heard him davening. And they were gripped by such an intense fear that they went running for their lives. The Degel was holding Svarim, and the Svarim went flying, and he didn't go back to pick them up. Other people picked them up, and the Rebbe Baruch lost his shoes and just kept on running. He couldn't. That was the level of the intensity of the fear. But then, after they got a hold of themselves, they went back again. So they were two of the people who were able to go back. The Magid, understanding the nature of his son, by the way, the son was the Rishon's father, and the Magid tried protecting him in all kinds of ways, and ultimately, soon after the Magid passed away, the Malach passed away at age 37. He burned himself out in a big way. They couldn't deal with it. Anyway, so they needed a successor. So the accepted successor to the Magid in Poland and in Galicia was Rebbe Lamelech of Lizhansk. You had these two brothers, Rebbe Zisha and Rebbe Lamelech. And the accepted Rebbe of all the Rebbes in that area, Remendel of Vitebska, was sent to White Russia. So he was a Rebbe of the Balatanya. And the Ukraine kind of went off on its own. But Poland, Galicia, Hungary was all under the domain of Rebbe Lamelech. Now, Rebbe Zisha, who was Rebbe Lamelech's older brother, wanted to show the other Talmidim the quality of his brother's Aveda. So he went to where the Talmidim were hanging out, and they were traveling somewhere. Rebbe Lamelech was traveling, I think he was traveling actually towards Lizhensk, where he was eventually going to set up his court. And the Rebbe Zisha met up with them in the inn where they were staying. And the Rebbe Melech asked that they please prepare his bed for him, that he was exhausted, he wanted to go lay down. And he had gone to sleep, and the Chassidim were sitting outside, waiting for him to say something. And they were not making a sound. It was, they didn't want to disturb the Rebbe's sleep. So the Rebbe Zisha comes in, the Rebbe's older brother, right? And he walks over to the mezuzah on Rebbe Melech's room and puts his hand over the mezuzah. And immediately, and this is on the outside of the room, immediately Rebbe Melech gets up and runs over, opens the door and runs over to see what had happened. So he quickly took his hand over and walked away. So he said to the Talmidim, he said, I just want you to understand that you think that Rebbe Melech is sleeping and therefore he's detached from his consciousness, his God consciousness. He says, before the Rebbe Melech goes to sleep, the words of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed are always before his eyes. And he connects with the one mitzvah that's prevalent in the room, which is to have a mezuzah on the door. So he says, the moment you create, he says, I went over to create a barrier between him and the mezuzah just to show you what your Rebbe is like even when he's asleep. That's the Altif Nukil Midatchem. That's what the Degel is teaching us, is that don't ever allow that God consciousness to be moved from, to be removed from the from one's mindset. Now, based upon that, with that introduction, I've shared with you in the past, we've done a few pieces from Rabbi Yitzchak Yoel of Kantakuzva. This is my father's father's mother's father, Rabbi Leibel's father-in-law. Rabbi Leibel's father-in-law was nifter before Rabbi Leibel's wedding. So Rabbi Leibel, when he got engaged, he was still alive. And between the engagement and the wedding, her father, Baba Ruchel's father, died. So there's letters from her Matala to Reb Leibela consoling him and encouraging him as he was marrying an orphan girl. He was 42 years old when he passed away. So when I was a kid, I was rummaging through my father's desk and I found this stack of manuscripts. And it was written by Reb Yitzchak Yoel's son, Reb Pinchas, who quotes the Divrei Torah of his father, some very, very beautiful things. So in Achrimos, in Kedoshim, he explains as follows. He says that there are in Parshas Achimais, it begins with the death of the two sons of Aaron, right? So if you remember, the two sons of Aaron, they went in and brought a ketores that was not requested, right? And they died. So the Midrashim have various reasons. One Midrash says that they had gone in to drink something, so that they'd come into the Mishkan, you know, in the right state of mind. You're not allowed to drink before you go in. One of the Midrashim says that they were not Shalei Hoya Lahem Isha. They did not have a wife. And therefore they were culpable of this death penalty. So, Rabbi Yitzchak Yoel explains as follows, that there are two forms of service. One form of service is clearly in the realm of Ruchnius, in the spiritual realm, Torah and Mitzvahs. That's the explicit, the open, the obvious service of Hashem. He says, but there's an equal level of Avodah in the world of the physical. That is, in eating and in drinking, as the Degel just explained to us. He says, that's the meaning of Chazal say, Toiv Torah im Derech Eretz. The Torah is good with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz means the ways of the world. That one cannot separate out their spiritual life from their physical life. He says, that's what David HaMelech says, V'soyroscha b'soych mea. Your Torah is in my kishkis. I mean, you can't separate the Torah just in your head. The Torah is in your kishkis as well. The Torah is all over. So he says, therefore, when Chazal say about, they're trying to describe, to emphasize a point, they say, hein hein gufei ha-Torah. These are the bodies of Torah. Meaning, Torah is not only in the head, but Torah is in the body as well. Hein hein gufei ha-Torah. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yoel suggests that for this reason, we find two names of Hashem. We find the name of Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then Hey, which we pronounce Adoshem, right? Then you have the name of Elohim. The name of Elohim has the same numerical value as Hateva. Hateva means nature. This is something which is pointed out by all this forum, that the name of Elohim is the name of nature. It's the name of concealment, right? Therefore, because Hashem is concealed in nature. So he says, so you have two names, one which is open godliness, and the other which is concealed. In spirituality, Hashem is open. There's this open, you know, you do a mitzvah that's clear godliness. But in the realm of the physical, it's much trickier. There Hashem is concealed. How to serve Hashem in the physical world is not necessarily an open exercise. That's something which is more challenging. So he says, so the name of Havaya, that refers to when we serve Hashem in the realm of the spirit. The name of Elohim refers to when we serve Hashem in the realm of the physical. The pasuk again in Tehillim, I believe, says, "Ki shemesh u'mogen havaya Elohim." Hashem is shemesh, is the sun. That's havaya. Elohim is the shield. So you have the sun and the shield. The sun is where there's open godliness. The shield is where there is concealed godliness. Havaya corresponding to the name of Hashem, which is open godliness. Elohim, referring to the place where the teva, which is the world of the shield, that's where Hashem is concealed. There's a pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk says, Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha. One is complete, you shall be wholesome, you shall be complete with Hashem Elokecha. When is a Jew complete? When is a Jew whole? If he comes with both of these attitudes, if, as the Degel said, not only is he a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the realm of Kedusha, in the realm of Torah and Mitzvahs, but when it comes together with Hashem and Elohim. That is when a Jew is whole, that's when a Jew is complete. You can't have as we were discussing yesterday, layered Judaism, where, you know, you fill in the blanks. I'm a person of this world. I also happen to be an observant, on top of that, an observant Jew. That doesn't work. It has to be tamim ti. A person has to be through and through Hashem Elokecha with using both names. Therefore, going back to the halacha that the Degel quoted from Shulchan Aruch, where it says, "Bichol dirochecha do'ehu, in all of your ways shall you know God." That's referring to both of these ways. You got to get to know God in the realm of Kedusha, in the realm of Torah mitzvahs. Bichol dirochecha, plural, means get to know God even in the physical as well. The Divrei Chaim of sons was known to eat very little. He ate very sparingly. But he would never turn away a dish. It was an embarrassment to the food. So when he would travel places, so the hostesses would prepare 15, 20, 25 different dishes. Because if the Divrei Chaim even ate one spoon of each dish, at least he would have, and he would end up eating something. So there was a person who understood that if something's put before them, it's there for a mission, it's there for a purpose. Now, remember there's a famous Gemara. It says, Ish v'isha, if you have a man and a woman, if there's peace between them, then the Shekhinah dwells among them, right? The Maral says that Ish refers to the Tzura, the image, the purpose, and Isha refers to the guf, the chaymer, the substance. So everything we do has these two components. There's the material you work with, and then there's the purpose. So he says that all too often, in the area of that which is conspicuously godly, we don't have a problem doing it for God's sake, right? It's easy to light Shabbos candles and have in mind God. But when you get to the chicken soup, then it becomes a much greater challenge, right? So Ish becomes the image, the purpose, and Isha becomes the substance. Ish v'Isha shalom b'neim. If they're both on the same page, if we're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the realm of the spirit as well as in the realm of the physical, then Shechina shriya b'neim. Then the Shechina is able to dwell among them. So he says, what happened with the two sons of Aaron is that when it came to the realm of the Torah mitzvahs, they had all the bren in the world. But they felt that when it came to the area of the physical, that somehow that was an area that was void of godlessness, of godliness. So they didn't dabble with it. They said, that's outside of the pale. We don't want to have anything to do with it. Say Chazal, you know why the two sons of Aaron died? Shalei hayu lehem isha. Because they failed to realize that there's godliness in the realm of the isha, in the realm of the physical, that they failed to recognize that in the physical world there is godliness to be had as well. There were two fascinating figures that both visited the Baal Shem HaKadosh. One of them was Reb Pinchas of Karetz. The other one was Reb Mechel of Zlotchev. Both very, very famous magidim and leaders in their own right. And they had something going on between the two of them. There was strife. They didn't get along. They weren't in the same place, but they didn't see eye to eye. Reb Mechel was not well and went into a coma. And the doctors had nothing to offer. So Reb Mechel's kids figured they may have something to do with this disagreement between him and Reb Pinchas of Karetz. So without telling their father, they slipped out and traveled to Karetz to ask Reb Pinchas to intervene. So they came to Karetz, and Reb Pinchas said, "I'll tell your father that the reason this happened is because at some point he wanted to take something upon himself, and he really likes milchigs, and he's denying himself the pleasure of eating milchigs. And the dairy kingdom went and complained that, you know, he's depriving them of whatever elevation they might have through, a person of Reb Mechel's stature. And this is the result of that prosecution as he was put into this coma. Tell him if he is mater neder, if he takes a bezin together and permits this commitment that he made, that he'll have a refuah shleima." Anyway, they were delighted. And then he said to them, "And by the way, tell your father, I know he's got this gripe against me, Because when he goes to Davin, and his neshama is elevated into the heavenly spheres, he doesn't find me there. Tell your father that the reason he doesn't find me there is because I've found my own road, I've found my own path. So he doesn't see me because I'm, you know, we go up at different times and I have my own path. I don't ride the same train as he does. I mean, it's not, he shouldn't be so upset with me. They come back to Zlotchev and they go over to their father who's lying in this stage and they say to him, what, you know, without saying it in the name of Pinchas, that this is happening to you because you've denied yourself the pleasure of eating dairy and the dairy is prosecuted against you and therefore you've been punished with this thing. If you give up that commitment, then you'll have a refuah shleim. So Ramechal opens his eyes and says, so you've been to Karetz, haven't you? So they said yes. And then they told him the second half. See, he said, I knew he was great, but I didn't know he was that great. So you see that there were great people who at times failed to realize what they were able to accomplish in the realm of the physical. So the Kantikuz Zayd is suggesting that that was what happened with the two sons of Aaron. That they knew that there was a great abundance of godliness in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. But they failed to realize that they can accomplish just as much or perhaps more in the realm of the physical. This pasuk on 656. Hashem says to Moshe, saying, "Dabro kol adas b'nei Yisrael, speak to all of Klal Yisrael, v'yamata aleihem, and say to them, kedoshim tiyu, you should be kodesh. Ki kodesh ani Hashem l'kechem, because I, Hashem, are kodesh. I am kodesh." So, the Medrash says on this pasuk, "Yochel kimayni, I might think, or one might think, that you should be kodesh like I am kodesh," Hashem says. You can't be as holy as me. My Kedusha is greater than your Kedusha. Says Rabbi Tzukiel, which person in their right mind would have thought that they can be as Kaddish as Hashem? Yochel Kamani, I might think you should be as Kaddish as me. So he says, now here he says, this is the exact point of this Medrash is teaching. He said, I'm demanding Klal Yisrael to be Kaddish. Yochel kemayni, so you might think that you should act like God, meaning that you should sanctify yourself in the areas of Kedusha. Meaning, Kodesh, ani, when Hashem says to be Kodesh, it means throw yourselves into Torah mitzvahs and dabble only in the area of the Spirit. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to understand something. Kedushasi lemayla mikdushaschem. You want to be able to experience spiritual heights in the realm of spirituality. It's only going to come about mikdushaschem from your kedusha that you bring to your humanity. You want to be able to experience spiritual heights? If you're going to act like an animal in the physical, you will have no kedusha in the spiritual. Kedushasi lemaila. You want to be able to experience something in the realm of Kedusha, it comes mikdushaschem. It comes from a Jew acting with Kedusha in the realm of that which is uniquely human. That's where it comes from. Comes Rashi and says, the first Rashi, Melame, this teaches us, Shenemre Parsha Zu Bahakil, that this Parsha was said, Bahakil, in a gathering, meaning with all of Klal Yisrael, then Mepnei Sheroiv Gufei Torah Tulim, but because most of the bodies of Torah are dependent upon it. Says Rabbi Tzachyoel, Bahakel means by gathering in all the components. This parsha was said Bahakel, it was said with the spiritual and with the physical. There was no dichotomy here, there was no separation here between Mepnei Sheroiv Gufei Torah, because the bodies of Torah are Tulim. But this isn't about the work of the souls. This is about how a Jew serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their bodies in the realm of the physical. So Rashi emphasizes, Kedushasi lemaila. You know how a Jew experiences Kedusha in the realm of the spirit, you want to be able to have fulfilling Torah mitzvahs, it comes mikdushas, and it comes from how we conduct ourselves at the tables and in all other areas of physical life. Because it's said by Hakel, it's said by an all-inclusive Jew, but because the bodies of Torah are dependent upon this. This is something which isn't just for the meaning that the realm of Kiddush of Klal Yisrael is not something which is only in the area of the spirit, but conversely, the fulfillment in the realm of the spirit will only be commensurate with how much a person serves in the area of the physical. So that's how he learns these psukim. Kedusha tiyu, if you want to be able to experience Kedusha in the areas where Kedusha should be found, it's only going to be as a result of Kedusha in the other areas of life. So the true area of challenge is not in finding, making Torah and mitzvahs fulfilling, but even more so, it's in making our physical life spiritually fulfilling, which will result in the fulfillment in the realm of Torah and mitzvahs as well.